It's time for you to be a part of the show. Email or call with questions for Dr. Mike now. Email askdrmikesmith at radiomd.com or call 877-711-5211. What are you waiting for? The doctor is in.
So my first question has to do with those magnetic medicine bracelets, medical bracelets that people wear. Often many of the companies that manufacture these bracelets, they say that it can decrease water retention, improve wound healing. Obviously, I think most of them pain. A matter of fact, it wasn't that long ago that I was watching one of those late night, you know, type infomercials, whatever. Listen, those late night infomercials, those producers know what they're doing. They know how to capture your attention. But I was watching this. It was a show on these magnetic bracelets. And this guy was in a mall, right? And he was apparently stopping random. You didn't see me, but I did that in the quotation, the air quotation marks, random people. I'm sure they were actors. But one, you know, but most of them, by the way, were overweight, walking a little funny, a little, you know, hip pain, back pain type stuff. And he would have them stand without the bracelet on first, and they'd put their hands out, close their eyes, and he would barely touch their arms, and they would fall over. Which, by the way, that is a legitimate neurological examination. But then, of course, they put the bracelet on, and he would do the same thing, and all of a sudden, miraculously, they were able to stand strong and stand up straight. And, you know, literally within seconds, years and years of back osteoarthritis and pain just went away. So I'm obviously, as a medical doctor, someone who really, you know, believes in the scientific method, I'm a little skeptical with that kind of stuff. But here's the question from this listener. My husband swears that his magnetic bracelet works. He had bouts of vertigo that completely stopped since wearing it, but I think it just cleared up. What are your thoughts about these bracelets? He's thinking about adding a Tibet healing bracelet, and it's very expensive. Okay. So the first question is, what are my thoughts in general about these bracelets? Okay. So I want to say something first about magnetism in general. I think there is therapeutic application for magnets. I do. Your cells in your body have electrical charges in a fluid type environment, and those electrons, protons, even charged proteins, glycoproteins, which are sugars and proteins connected, all of them can be influenced in certain ways by magnets, and that is true. And I think there is some therapeutic application out there. And I do think I went on WebMD. I don't, you know, when it comes to natural medicine, I don't go to WebMD too much because they're a little biased towards allopathic stuff. But they always have at least good just general descriptions of things. And, you know, they even on WebMD, they're saying that magnets are currently being tested for pain, low back pain, foot pain, heel pain, arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, diabetes, menstrual pain, and sports injuries, and migraine headaches. So there is research looking at magnetism and treating those conditions. And no results yet, no conclusions. They go on to say, and this kind of surprised me, they say that worldwide sales of magnets for treatment is estimated at over $5 billion annually. Wow. So we are spending a lot of money on these things. I think in general, magnetism has some therapeutic applications, but there's no hardcore conclusions on these things. In reference to your husband who had vertigo, who all of a sudden now doesn't have it, maybe it did just clear up. I don't have an answer for that. Things do just clear up. But he doesn't have vertigo, and he likes the bracelet. And so, let him continue to wear it. Now, you're concerned about this Tibet healing bracelet. I looked those up online, too, and they are expensive. I really can't tell you the difference between a basic magnetic bracelet and one of these Tibet healing ones. If you are a listener that has that kind of information, share it with me. Ask Dr. Mike Smith at RadioMD.com. They are expensive, and whether those Tibet healing bracelets are any better than a basic magnetic bracelet, I don't know. And if he's already feeling better on the cheaper one, I mean, maybe that's your argument. Why do you need a new, more expensive model? Maybe that's your argument to at least just let him keep the cheaper one. But it's working for him. Even if it is placebo effect, placebo effect. People feel better sometimes on placebo. It's true. And that's why we test things against placebo. So my overall feeling about these magnetic bracelets is we need more research. I think magnetism itself is a potential therapeutic, modality, specifically for pain. But we just don't have any major conclusions. I don't believe the infomercial I saw. I don't think anything works that fast. I just don't. But I could be wrong. I don't know. But we'll have to see with more research. Okay, number two. My good cholesterol is always so low, usually around 20. And that is very low. My doctor wants it at least half my LDL, which is good at 90. Are there any natural supplements that raise HDL? Yeah, I can give you some suggestions, but before I do, remember that and I'm glad this question is coming up, because more and more I want to teach people that there are more risk factors than just cholesterol, right? And matter of fact, I've done radio shows on the 17 heart disease risk factors. There's 17. High LDL, low HDL are risk factors, but there's 15 others that you need to put into context. So if your only issue is a low HDL, okay, we can try to bring that up, but I don't know. I mean, if inflammation is good and your vitamin D level is good, vitamin K2, you're supplementing with that, you're doing your fish oils, the omega-3 oils, and hormones look well balanced. I mean, I don't know how much I would worry about this. I mean, your doctor is right. Usually, at least in conventional medicine, we like the HDL to be at least half the LDL. I mean, that's a good ratio, but I mean, I just think you got to take this into context. And I'm not giving any other information here. So, maybe you do need to get this HDL up. But if everything else looks fine, let's try some things to raise the HDL, but let's not get too crazy with it. Also, maybe consider an advanced cholesterol test. HDL, there's two types of HDL, high-density lipoprotein, the good stuff. There's HDL 1 and 2, and they behave differently in the body. I think it's I'd have to confirm this, but it's the HDL 2 that's more protective. So if your HDL is at 20, but it's all of the really good HDL, HDL number 2, well, then maybe you don't need to raise it. So I think an advanced cholesterol test would be helpful in this case. So my suggestions for raising HDL in general, this also comes from the Life Extension Foundation, has a wonderful protocol on cholesterol, niacin, vitamin B3, 1,000 milligrams up to 2,000 milligrams a day. Start low. Don't start at a gram a day. You'll flush like crazy and you'll get mad at me. Maybe start at even 250 milligrams, 500 milligrams. You just work up slowly. Take it with food. Even a baby aspirin helps with the flushing. But the flushing will eventually, for most people, go away. So niacin, I don't like no-flush niacin, stuff like that. I think that if regular niacin is not something you can do because of the flushing, don't try the no-flush niacin. Try something like Indian gooseberry, which is called amla. That's been shown to raise good cholesterol. There's a probiotic. There's a bacterial strain called Lactobacillus reuteri, or reuteri. That's been shown to raise HDL levels. And then, of course, polyunsaturated fats, the omega-3s. So niacin, Indian gooseberry, lactobacillus, and polyunsaturated fats to raise HDL. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.